your Bible, and I hope you do. Don't ever come to church without your Bible. That's your sword. Would you turn with me to 1 John? 1 John. Over near the back of your Bibles. One of the great books in the Bible. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look down at verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Oh Lord, thank you for the word of God. May we today look at our own hearts, our attitudes. May we search our heart. And may we realize how much we need your cleansing, your forgiveness, your grace. Your word tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our God and Savior. So give us willing hearts to grow, to become the people you want us to be. And make us a blessing to others as we live each day you give us. Help me as I stand before your people today, Lord. I'm helpless without you. And so we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk with you a while this morning about this, about something that's going on in our country, in our communities, and in some churches. And that is the seriousness of hate. Y'all noticed any hate around? There's so much hate in our world today. It's just disturbing. Even to our own country, we have so many people that hate other people. And for various reasons, we have so much hate today. And it so much displeases the Lord. Every one of us has the same need. And every one of us also needs the Savior. Amen. But if you don't have the love of God in your heart, there's going to be a lot of hate and a lot of problems. We have too many people that's just hating one another. Our country has become divided. We're just about 50% either way. We can't stand one another. Isn't that sad? We can't even stand one another in our country because of what we believe. Does what we believe match this? We're supposed to believe the truth, and we're supposed to stand for the truth. But we got a great number of people in our country today, in our communities today, they just hate this book. They hate God's word. And it's so sad and so pitiful that we're so divided as a people when our country has been so blessed by the Lord. I was reading yesterday or today one. This morning, you know, our country uses about 28 million barrels of oil a day. 28 million barrels of oil a day. You know who the closest competitor to using oil is? The biggest country in the world, which is China. You know how much they use a day? About 8,000 or 8 million barrels a day. We're using as much as three times the amount of oil a day that China does. And they're so much bigger than we are, more people than we are. What are you trying to say, preacher? Look how God has blessed us. Back in the 70s, we were told we're running out of gas. I said then it was a lie. And now we've got so much gas in our country, we don't even know what to do with it. They're not even drilling it down in Texas. The biggest supply of gas in recent years has been discovered down in Texas. And it's just their wait for future use. In Mark 3:24, the scripture says, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Mark 3:24. People that's divided, a house that's divided, it can't stand. It's not going to work smoothly. It's not going to be efficient. It's not going to reach its full potential. Because there's going to be bitterness and anger and hate. This is true even in some churches. Oh, I've been in churches where I was a member and it was a fuss every Sunday. A fuss every Sunday. People couldn't get along in the church. And if there's any place where that's sad at, it's in a church, ain't it? Where church folks can't get along. Folks, the church folks supposed to have the love of God in their hearts. The church folks supposed to want the will of God to be accomplished. If you'll always read in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll always notice Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. I come to do the Father's will. May I ask everyone here today, did y'all come to church to do what you wanted? Or did you come here to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, and to enjoy brothers and sisters in love with the Lord? If not, somebody needs to be at the altar. Repenting. Because it displeases the Lord, and you're going to be miserable all the days of your life. Hate in too many people's lives, even in some churches. In some churches. Hate is like a poison you don't have to eat or drink. Hate is like a poison. It just poisons a life. It ruins a life. It kills life. Hate. And you turn on our TV today, there's only a couple channels you can halfway watch to get any truth, because so many of the channels are spewing hate, divisiveness, because they don't accept this book, first of all. They don't accept the God of this book, and it's promoting hate and thinking all the time they're right. Thinking all the time they know best. Folks, this book tells you what's best. The wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. Brother Chavis was speaking in the Sunday school lesson this morning about when we're young, how we feel like we can conquer the world. But God's patience waits on us. And as we live here a little bit longer and a little bit longer, we begin to find out the wisdom of God is much better. The wisdom of God is much better. We begin to understand how much more we need God as we grow older. Yes, we realize that. Did you know that hate is bad on one's health? And besides, hate is also an awful sin. Hate's an awful sin. And it's also bad on people's health. 1 John 2:9 states, "He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now." 1 John 2:9. Hate can cause one to do unwise things. Well, I have a little story from the Bible I want to talk with you about this morning. But hate can make you or cause you to do something you really shouldn't do. In the book of Esther, there's the story of the king. And the king was having a big party for all the leaders in 127 provinces. And they all had gathered together to celebrate. And actually what they were doing was planning to make war. They just lost a war, and they were planning again how they could fight Greece. So he invited all the top generals and leaders of these 127 provinces to come down to Shushan, and they were going to celebrate for 180 days partying. And they were really drinking the hard stuff. And at one point, the old king, he said, "Tell my wife to come and let me show everybody how pretty she is. Miss Vashti," that was her name. She got word and she said, "I ain't going." And the king was embarrassed. His wife wouldn't listen to him. So he got together with some of his so-called wise people. And he said, "What should I do? What can we do?" Vashti was a very attractive lady. But she didn't want to go out there with all that drunken crowd of men. And she refused to go. So the wise men told the king, "Hey, why don't you just get rid of her, divorce her, and get you another one. Get you somebody else. And by the way, why don't you just look at all the beautiful young virgins that's in the kingdom and bring them in and pick out the one you want. I'm just using everyday talk as to how the scriptures was telling us." And so the king thought that was a good idea. So they began to gather the young, beautiful virgins in. And they began to give them special treatments. And for months that went on, preparing them to the day they'd meet the king to pick out the one he wanted to be his new wife. So finally, there was a man named Mordecai. He was a Jew. There was Jews living among those people back then. And so Mordecai had his uncle's girl to come before and be prepared to meet the king. And so when her time came, after others had gone in before the king, and her time came, and boy, the king was just, this is the woman he wanted to be his wife. So she became the queen. But you know, about right after that, Ahasuerus, the king, promoted a man by the name of Haman. He made Haman the highest officer in the kingdom. Only he was superior to Haman. Oh, Haman was so proud. Oh, he was next to the king. He was so exalted. And the king has said, everybody, when you meet Haman, you're supposed to bow. But Jews don't bow. Jews don't bow. And so when Haman would meet Mordecai, at first he didn't notice it. But then some people began to say, did you notice Mordecai don't bow to you when you go by? And old Haman got to noticing that. Sure enough. And old Haman got so mad. He got so mad. He was in a rage. And hate built up in him. It got stronger and stronger. And finally he couldn't hold it no more. So he goes to see the king. Did you know, king, that in our kingdom we got these people? They're causing trouble. What trouble? Well, he just wanted to get rid of Mordecai. Well, the king, so he suggested to the king what they ought to do. King, make a decree that on a certain day, at a certain time, that all these people, that we can kill them all, get rid of them. Well, that's good. So the king signed a decree, not knowing his beautiful wife was one of them. And then word came to what that decree that was signed. And finally Esther hears about it. And they're all weeping and crying and upset because the Jews are to be terminated out of the Persian kingdom. And so Mordecai tells Esther she needs to go to the king and tell him about their predicament. Well, everybody's nervous, upset. So finally, Esther says, I'm going to fast for 3 days and pray. And Mordecai have the Jews to fast and pray for 3 days. And then I'll go to the king. So after 3 days, Esther, who is not allowed to walk into where the king is at unless she invites him. And he hadn't invited her in 30 days to see him. But she decides to walk in anyway. And the king was gracious enough to extend his rod, which was graciously said, it's okay, come on in. So she came in and she said to the king, O king, I want you to come to a banquet. I want to give you a banquet tonight. Okay? And by the way, bring Haman with you. Oh, that'll be fine. So that evening, Esther provided this banquet. And they ate and had a good time together, I suppose. And the king finally said, well, Esther, what is it you want? I'll even give you half the kingdom. Boy, he's very generous, weren't he? He hadn't seen her in 30 days, so he was going to give her half the kingdom. I wonder how Haman felt about that when he thought he was the top dog. Anyway, Esther said, King, would you come back tomorrow? Because I want to make a banquet for you tomorrow and bring Haman with you. And I'll tell you what's on my heart to tell you. The king agreed. So the next day, here they come for the banquet at Esther's residence. And after they've ate, fellowship, the king says, Esther, what is it that I can do? What is it you want? What is your request? And Esther said, O king, my people is about to be destroyed. They're about to all be killed. By this, and the king said, who's going to do this? And Esther said, this wicked Haman. Oh, the king went in a rage. Haman panicked with fear because he seen the face of the king was so angry. Because he knew he had signed that decree to kill all those Jewish people. The end of the story is Haman, who had hated Mordecai, he had built a 75-foot scaffold to hang Mordecai on. You know what the king did? The king says, hang Haman on his own gallows, 75 feet high. What's the moral of the story? Haman's hate for another person destroyed his life. That's what hate will do. It'll destroy. It takes out the best of life. Now, on the side, you know what would have happened if they had have killed all those Jews in the kingdom? You know what would have happened? Because that would include Israel too. We wouldn't have a Savior. The Savior would have never come forth because all the Jews would have been demolished, wiped out. And although in the book of Esther there is no mention of God whatsoever, yet in the book of Esther, the providence of a sovereign God is so clear on every page, controlling all things. People at the right place at the right time. Let me tell you something. In our lives today, there's a sovereign God overruling everything in our life. He's in complete control. Hate is deep and extreme emotional dislike which is directed against individuals, groups, entities, objects, behaviors, or ideas. Both the Old and the New Testament deal with hate. Ecclesiastes 3:8 teaches that there is a time to love and a time to hate. However, the Old Testament also contains condemnation of hatred. For example, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. The New Testament emphasized that evil intentions can be as serious as evil actions. Even intentions. Thus John counted hatred as serious as murder. In Proverbs 10:12, the wisdom writer said, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Folks, love is what's missing so much in our country. Love is more powerful than hate. Did you know that? Prolonged bouts of anger can take the toll on the body in the form of high blood pressure, stress, anxiety, headaches, and poor circulation. That's what hate can do. Research shows that even 1 5-minute episode of anger is so stressful that it can empower your immune system for more than 6 hours, just 5 minutes of rage. All of these health issues can lead to more serious problems, such as heart attacks, strokes, cancer. The root, hate. We should not allow hate to control us. Does hate have a place in your life? Are you hating someone? If you do, you need to address this negative feeling before it becomes something more dangerous. You see, it was hate that destroyed Haman. He despised one of God's people, and it backfired. And God was not going to let his people be destroyed. Hate can tarnish your soul and darken your days. You know, you can just get out of your car on the parking lot at Walmart or any other place, and you watch the face of people. So many people act like they're so angry. And some of them, they'll look at you, and you've never seen them in your life, and you can see they despise you. Yet you've never met them. They don't even know you, but they despise you. Hate. Something's wrong in the inside. Something's not right. Church, we need the love of God in our hearts. We're all people made in the image of God, every one of us. Everyone with the same need. You need the love of God in your heart. Love is more powerful than hate, and the love of God will bring peace and still the troubled soul of man. The love of God. It seems like some people just like to be full of hate. They just like that. It don't please God, though. And it's damaging their own self. John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Folks, we're in church. We're here to learn to love one another. We're here to learn to love people. Because God wants us to love people. Think about it this way. Are you listening? God loves everybody. I don't care what their actions are, God still loves them. We're not supposed to love the actions of people, but we're to love people. God loves people everywhere. Christ died for every person because they were so loved of God. That's awesome to think about, isn't it? Love can make one's life good. Blessed. Hate makes life miserable. Things we should hate properly. Think about this one now. Things we should hate properly. We should hate unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brothers, if the world hates you. Christian people down through the ages have always been hated by some. All down through the centuries, God's people have had many enemies that hate them. We should hate injustice. Amos 5:15 says, hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. We should hate the works of the devil. And boy, he's got them, don't he? The psalmist wrote in 97 in verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. See, there's a proper time to hate. Hate unrighteousness. Hate injustice. Hate the works of the devil. Some people hate their own children. What? Yes. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his own son. But he that loveth him chastises him betimes. My mama fulfilled that. My mama fulfilled that. John 15:23, he that hateth me, Jesus said, you hate my Father. That is, you hate God. Look how Jesus Christ is hated today. Hey, in the last 8 or 9 days since the new administration has come on the scene, we've heard more of the name Jesus Christ or Jesus than we've heard in 8 years in just 7 or 8 days. Jesus is getting some attention again in this country. Let's pray it continues. There's so many in the cabinet today that are professing Christians. And before, if you noticed in the bulletin this morning, that article about what our new president did when he went into the White House and he found all that Muslim worship going on in there, how he ordered clean house. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of some of the kings of Israel. When they come into power like Josiah, they got rid of the idols. Amen. That mess is an abomination to God Almighty. Our White House was established on Christian principles by men and women of God. Amen. And some have made it a mockery. A mockery. Some people just hate God. Some people hate Jesus. Atheists hate God. They hate Jesus. Some people hate people of a different skin color. Just because you don't look like me, I hate you. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's clearly taught in the Old and the New Testament. We're supposed to love other people. We might not like their ways sometimes, but people were made in the image of God, and God loves everybody. And we love people by trying to get them saved. Amen? That's one way to show love. Trying to get them saved. Help them know the Lord. And don't forget our salvation box there. Put names in it of people that need salvation. And commit to pray for them faithfully every day. Because people need salvation. 1 John 4:8 states, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen? What a great verse. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What good thing will hate do for you? Tell me one good thing hate will do for you. There's none. There's none. But it can and will wreck or destroy a life. It's our prayer that we might have the love of Christ in our heart, church. That we would love people. That we'd try to be a blessing to people. Dr. Bill Monroe this morning talked about being a blessing to people. Do you want to be a blessing to people? We should desire to be a blessing to people, to encourage people. Confess this great sin of hate to God and repent of it. Turn from it. It's what the Word of God says. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1 and verse 9. Ask the Lord to put the love of Christ in our heart and begin to love the Lord and serve the Lord and try to share the love of God with other people. Begin to love people made in the image of God. We may not love the ways of some people, but they need our love and our prayers. Oh, somebody need to really take Haman aside, didn't he? And talk to him about his problem. But sin, the sin of hate, destroyed Haman, who thought he was so wonderful and so great. He had reached the pinnacle of his life. He was second to the king. He was so proud. But his hatred destroyed his life. Remember our Lord while hanging on the cross? Remember what He prayed? Think about that, what the Lord prayed on the cross. Remember, He's been rejected. He's been beaten. He's been falsely accused. He's been condemned to death. He's been nailed to a cross. And He prays hanging from a cross, "Father, forgive them." This was His enemies. Do you have enemies? Can you forgive? That's what the Lord did. Why? The love of God for every person. I don't know about you, but I need to grow some. For His enemies, the way they treated Him. And yet He prays humbly, sincerely, truthfully, "Father, forgive them." That's our Lord. That's our Savior. The one we're supposed to follow. The one we're supposed to obey. The Lord Jesus died without hating His enemies, without hating them. I tell you what, that's something. But loving them and praying for their sins. Our Lord showed us how to live, folks. When you see people God loves. I don't care who they are, what they've done. Like I said, we may not love their ways, but we're to love them as people. And we're trying to pray for, work for their salvation. Too many people are living and dying with hate in their heart. And that's true. Too many people are living and dying with hate in their heart. God have mercy. May we as a country and as God's people in particular be an example to in our community, wherever we're at, of loving people, accepting people, praying for people, for the good of people. And God will bless us. God will use us if we're sincere. And making sure in my heart that I don't have hate and bitterness towards other people. Loving God, our Father, with thankful hearts, we have gathered here today to praise you, to worship you, the eternal God, our Father, our Savior in Jesus Christ. I pray for each one that's gathered here, Lord. I pray you just bless each one. Encourage those that are discouraged. And Lord, just help us to grow in grace and be the people you'd have us to be. Thank you for our great country, Lord, for the freedom to gather to worship, Lord. We just thank you, most of all for our Savior that was willing to take our sins upon himself, pay our sin debt that we might have forgiveness and cleansing and be made acceptable to live in heaven with our great God forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. As the Lord speaks to hearts today, you so obey. You need to come pray for someone that's lost. You need to come pray for some special need in your life or someone else that needs prayer. Maybe you have something in your heart you need to confess to the Lord.